Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Drew Bible study. I just spent the last 45 to 50 minutes rehearsing this Bible study because I just already did the Bible study and talked to a camera that wasn't recording. So, I'm very well practiced at the topic du jour, all right? Revelation chapter 16, verse 1. God's got a purpose in everything, and you just got to smile and laugh and move on. Revelation 16:1, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, mark that down. I've already got markings all over my notes from what I've already done this. Who was it? Yogi Berra used to say, it's deja vu all over again. I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, mark that down, seven angels. Why? We're going to talk about that today. Go your ways and pour, look at that word, out the vials of wrath of God upon the earth. The vials of wrath. What are these? Why when God is going to deliver his wrath to the world, why is he pouring it out? Why doesn't he just go, blow it all away? There's a reason why. And it has everything to do, I think, with the number seven, the reason why there's seven angels here. What we're going to do, we're going to be in Revelation 16, verse 1, for a few weeks. Okay? You know me, I like to just get everything I can out of a verse, and then you move on, and then when you go back, you're going, well, I missed that. And I missed that. Should have looked at that. That's why I'll spend the rest of my life digging into this Bible, this English King James Bible, not ever needing to go to any of these other Bibles because I'll never get all this one out. It's amazing that way. We're going to look into things that are poured out. Think of, this is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. What is Aquarius all about? It's that astrological sign. The new age people, because it rhymes with sewage, the new age people had this idea that we are in the Piscean age, which is fish, like the Jesus fish, which I don't think I believe in that little Jesus fish symbol. I don't like that. But anyway, they say we're in the Piscean age, and the church kind of rules now, the Christian church, but there's going to come a time when Aquarius, you know what Aquarius does? Aqua, water. Aquarius is either a god or a goddess. I've seen conflicting ideas. They pour a big pitcher of water out on the earth. All right? Now, here's the thing. When you think of things poured out in the Bible, God pours out wrath, obviously, but how did he deliver his spirit on the day of Pentecost? Same thing, right? I poured out my spirit. So there's always, when God has a great idea and a great concept, there's always its opposite. So the New Age has tapped into this opposite, and they think that this pouring out thing is going to be good, and it's going to bring peace and harmony, enlightenment, and legal marijuana. That's what they think. But God is going to pour out his wrath upon this earth. It's not going to be good for the people of this earth who do not know the Lord. It's not going to be good for them. So when we're not going to deal with the idea of pouring today, but you study that in advance. What we're going to look at today is the number seven, and I did the King James Code series. When I wrote the book By Divine Order and the King James Code years ago, my understanding of the number seven was its perfection and completion, and rightly so. God ended his work on the seventh day. He rested, and you'll see patterns of that in the Bible. But then here a few months ago, it occurred to me that the number seven also represented purification, being cleansed, being made holy. And that was, as I thought about it, and I went to the scripture in my mind, I went, well, yeah, it makes sense. It does. So, and I've already done the King James Code on the number seven, and looked at all the sevens and the 70s and the 700s and the 700 and the 77s and things in the Bible with the idea of perfection and completion. But even that idea of perfection, the base of it is it's made perfect. It's cleansed. The 7 days of God's creation week, we call it, where he worked 6 days and rested the seventh, is a type and a shadow of, I think, 6,000 years since Adam, since the creation. There's going to be a seventh-day rest, the 1,000 years. The day of the Lord is as 1,000 years. And then after that, mankind, all of mankind, is purified, and he brings in the new heaven and the new earth on the eighth day. Now, what I'm going to show you is we're going to look at this number seven in relation to cleansing and being purified. That's the reason why he sends seven angels out. These angels are going to purify the earth with the vials of the wrath of God. Just dealing with this word pour, just for a minute. The word pour, P-O-U-R, if you type it into the Pure Bible Search software, you'll get, if you type in P-O-U-R and then an asterisk, that tells it to look for pour, poured, pouring, pouringly, pouringlier, I'm making that up. But it'll find all the variations of the word P-O-U-R. Now, you'll get 164. That's the number you'll get. And I may be wrong on this, so double check me. Four occurrences of P-O-U-R asterisk are the word portray, like something that's portrayed on the wall, like a screen, a movie screen. It's portrayed there. Only they spell it, you British people, and you're spelling with U's. You got that from the French. Why don't you let it go? Okay. But anyway, P-O-U-R-T-R-A-Y, I counted four places where portray is used. So you take that out because portraying doesn't have anything to do with something being poured. All right. So you take out portray. Now you have 160. That's 40 times 4. Think of what that number means. The number 4, the Gospels, spiritual ideas, and so on. Even the number 40. Number 40 carries with it. It is another number related to things that are purified. Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days, and then he began his ministry. A woman who gives birth to a man-child, she is unclean for 7 days. Okay, there's the number 7. Then she, on the eighth day, she takes the man-child to be circumcised. That's a picture of Jesus. That's what Mary did. And then she's unclean for the remainder of the 33 days. It's divided up. It's pretty cool. It's divided up, 33 and 7. That's how David's kingdom was divided up, 33 and 7. Exact same number, all right? So anyway, the wilderness, the Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And what that did was it purified Israel. Because the old school that came out of Egypt, they said, we're not going in that land. It's too dangerous. We don't believe what God said. So God made them walk in a circle for 40 years, and that old generation died out, and a new generation moved into the promised land. There's a picture there. If you look in Genesis 40, you have a picture of Jesus preaching the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to the spirits in prison. Why? It's the baker and the butler. The baker has bread on his head, like leaven. He's unclean. The butler, they're both in prison, and Joseph is prophesying to them. He's preaching to them in Genesis 40. It's a picture of what Christ did in the lower parts of the earth. And he sets captivity free. The butler is restored to Pharaoh's right hand, and he squeezes the cluster, and the wine goes into the cup. It's pure wine, new wine, fresh wine, sugar wine, non-corruptive wine. No leaven. The baker, however, has all this bread, baked goods, on his head. Think of sin being on your head. And when he's brought out of prison, he's hung on a tree. He's cursed. So here Christ in the lower parts of the earth, the heart of the earth, has four chambers in it. Here's Christ down in there, and he's preaching to Abraham's bosom, y'all go on ahead. It's time to leave. Okay? He sets captivity free. But then he turns to all the wicked people of the world that have died, and he says, well, it seems to be... Now, here's the good news. The good news is you will be let out of this place here before too long. Bad news is you're going to be thrown in a worse place for all of eternity. He's preaching to them. That's what Joseph did in Genesis 40. So the number 40 and the word poor, 40 times 4, 160 times, you get this idea that God has preached the gospel. He's declared it to the entire world, and people have made their choice. And now God is saying to those of you who believe, you're redeemed. To those of you who don't, get ready. I'm going to pour out 7 vials of wrath upon your head. And you'll wish you had never been born. But let's look at this number 7. So if I say, and I did this with E.W. Bullinger's book on Bible numbers and Ed Vallow's book. Ed Vallow, I think, was an independent Baptist preacher. Pastor Kelly knew him and was really fascinated by his book on numbers. But I read both of those books when God started teaching me numbers. And when I closed Vallow's book and I said, okay, that's what men say the numbers mean. I want to know what you said. I want to know what God said. So I went to the scriptures to find answers. So at that time, the idea of the number 7 was perfection and completion. And I, in the King James Code, in the book By Divine Order, in the video series I did, you'll see that I give scripture, 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 scripture. Here's why this number means this. But then it just dawned on me, the number 7 was a number related to purification. Where do I get that from? Let's go to Genesis chapter 7. What happens in Genesis 7? God pours out His wrath upon the earth, literally, by way of water. And it scoured the surface of the earth. It cleansed it. Buried all the corruption down. That's why you have fossils laying around everywhere, deep in layers. Buried all of that corruption underneath the silt and everything that had been stirred up because of the flood. And He cleansed the earth so that Noah, in Genesis chapter 8, 8 people walk off the ark into a new world. Okay, a clean world. Oh, it's beautiful. I love it. And so He says in Genesis chapter 7, verse 4, for yet, how many days? 7 days. And I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. There it is. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. I just got a little thought here. And again, this second time I've done this Bible study today. 40 days and 40 nights. They're opposites. Night and day. Think of opposites. Think of how opposites work together. And think of where this water came from. It fell from heaven and came up from the heart of the earth. The angels in Revelation 12 are going to fall from heaven, and these devils are going to, fallen angels are coming down, and these devils are coming up. And that's how God is consuming the world in the last days. And I just now caught this. I think the 40 days represents the angels that fall from heaven. And I think the 40 nights, I think of darkness because they're rising up out of the pit, which is outer darkness. I may be wrong, but you take that and you kind of run with it, all right? But anyway, that's what He said. He's in Genesis 7, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, and I will every living substance I've made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. He's cleansing the earth, purifying it. And He does so in the 7th chapter of the Bible, and He tells Noah that He's going to do it in 7 days. And on the 7th day, bada boom, bada bing, there it is. All right? Now, so that's one witness. Okay, Pastor, I'm kind of with you there, but I need more. Well, I'll give you more. Turn to the 490th chapter of the Bible. That would be 70 times 7. Ring a bell? 490th chapter, if you have the Pure Bible Search software, go to this, like over here on the right, you can click the chapter and go down to the number 490 and hit it. You'll end up at Psalm 12. Verse 6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words. Let me stop right here. I believe in the present tense language here, the words of the Lord are pure words. Are. One of the reasons why I and we as a church left the denomination. The denominational doctrine on the Bible, I agreed to, because it said that we believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and it is infallible in everything that it says. We believe in the plenary verbal inspiration of the Bible, that every word is the Word of God. And all through that doctrinal statement, it was present tense language. And I'm going, that's what it says. That's what I believe. I believe exactly what that says, that the Bible right now is perfect in everything that it says. But I was hard-pressed to find preachers, men that I've known all my life, that actually believed that their Bible right now, the King James, was the inspired, inerrant Word of God. They all said, no, this original manuscript. Then they didn't agree with the doctrinal statement because the doctrinal statement said it is right now the Word of God, not used to be. And so I said, well, if this is how you guys are going to be, we're out. Okay? One of the reasons. But anyway, so it's present tense, are right now pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified, how many? See, it's right there. Purified seven times. What does that tell you? The wording always fits the number. The number seven, I think, has everything to do with purification, sanctification, being made holy, being cleansed and washed, purified seven times. It's telling you that's what it means. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I have to believe that. That's what I have to believe. Exodus 20 is the 70th chapter of the Bible. The law here, the Ten Commandments, is here. And Exodus 20, verse 1, I remember reading this one day, and I counted the number of words in Exodus 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, seven words here. And it's like the Holy Ghost, I sat back and I was looking at the verse, and the Holy Ghost is saying, Mike, do you believe that? And I got what he said. God spake all these words, saying, Mike, do you believe that everything that you're reading on this paper, this day, right now, in this Bible, do you believe that God spake all these words? And I said, yeah, I do. I believe that everything that came out of the mouth of God was plastered on this paper. God preserved it, God purified it, God sanctified it, and God said it. And that's it for me. I don't argue with the Bible. I don't wrest the Scriptures. I don't understand everything, but I believe every word of it exactly the way it is written. That's what I believe. And so, think about this, okay? Some people don't like that I say King and James in the same day, okay? But anyway, in 1604, King James of England decided that, I think God laid it on his heart, there's no doubt in my mind about it. He wanted a common Bible for common men. He wanted a Bible that everybody could have access to and read. He wanted a Bible that wasn't a Church of England Bible, and it wasn't a Puritan Bible like the Geneva Bible was. He wanted a Bible that would unify, it would unify his kingdom. God blessed that. So in 1604, he sent out a proclamation saying, we're going to retranslate the Bible. And so he gathered together scholars from the Church of England, and the Puritans. He made them sit together in heavenly places. He put them in groups so that there was not one group who had authority over the rest of them. Okay, it wasn't a triangle pyramid. They were all equal. This group took the original manuscripts, Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic, the original copies, I should say, and they translated their portion. Let's say they had 1 Samuel through 2 Chronicles. They translated that portion. When they translated it from the original languages, they then went to the former translations, the Geneva Bible, the Bishop's Bible, Tyndale's Bible. They went to Martin Luther's Bible, translated in German. And what they were doing was they were comparing their English translation with other English translations as well as other vernacular translations. In other words, in other languages, not English. What they were doing was they were checking to make sure there was a consistency between what they were translating and what had already been done before. They wanted to make sure that if it said this in English, that it was saying that same thing in German. That's what they were doing. And when they got done with their work, they put it over to this group. This group here brought their work over here, and they started the process all over again. And they were reviewing the other group's work. And they did that. And it took them from 1604 to 1611. Do the math. 7 years. Now, that's the fact right there. Okay? It's the unarguable fact. It's history, and the Bible says purified seven times. Now, I believe that God used that process to purify His Word in those seven-year time. In that seven-year time. That's what I believe. You don't have to believe that if you don't want to. But you can't deny the facts. The facts are God purifies His Word seven times. And the facts are it took them 7 years and they went through the process of purifying the Word. Peer-reviewed. Nobody having, no Church of England scholar had more input than a Puritan scholar. They had to learn to get along and to translate this thing right. And I believe they did. So the idea of the number seven being the number for purification, it's purified seven times. In Leviticus chapter 4, we have the law concerning someone who is unclean. Someone who has leprosy. And there is a certain ritual that they had to perform for this person who had leprosy to not have leprosy anymore. In Leviticus 4:6, the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. Seven times. And you look in verse 7, and he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times and shall pronounce him clean. See it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now you're clean. It has to do with purification. And then in verse 51, because the guy lived in a house and he had leprosy, so he was leprous in his house and his house had to be cleansed. So they sent guys over there to do this ceremony. In verse 51, he shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet and the living bird and dip them in the blood of the slain bird and in the running water and sprinkle the house seven times. Why? To purify that house. See it now? The number seven deals with purification, sanctification. How many spirits are there? Seven. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. The seven spirits of God cleanse us and sanctify us. Watch this. Our breath. Our blood is going through. The red blood cells are shaped like cups. This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, Jesus said. And the cups deliver to all the cells in the body some good oxygen and nutrients, food that you eat. When they give over the oxygen and the nutrients to the cell, they hang around for a little bit, and then they're loaded back with garbage, waste products, carbon dioxide, poison. If it builds up in your blood, you'll die. And it's poison, and it takes the garbage and delivers it back to the lungs. And what purifies, what happens? We breathe it out. That's carbon dioxide. That's not good for us. We breathe in the good, blow out the bad. That's the spirit. That's the seven spirits of God cleansing us. I love this Bible. Leviticus 16:19, he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger seven times and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Now you have two words, cleanse it and hallow it. Hallow it means to make, doesn't mean to make hollow. Hallow means holy. It is being made holy by the blood sprinkled seven times. It's all a foreshadowing of Christ who provides the way of sanctification for you and for I. And just like in my body, when I breathe in, I'm breathing in good air, I'm delivering it to the body needs it, but then I got to get rid of this junk that's in me. So I blow that back out. It's the purpose of the Word. The Spirit of God is the Word of God. And we read this book to take in the good, and we read this book to purge ourselves of uncleanness that builds up in our cells, in our body, in our soul. That's how it works. The Spirit, we call it the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what sanctifies us and cleanses us. Jesus washes His church. How? By the water of His Word that's been purified seven times. Leviticus 25. There is the Day of Atonement. On the Day of Atonement, the priest did exactly what you find here. He went into the most holy place, and he sprinkled the blood seven times on the mercy seat of Almighty God. Look at the formula that he gave for this. Leviticus 25:8. Thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years, and unto thee 7 times 7 years. 7 times 7. Think about it. The space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. And thou shalt, then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound in the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement shall you make the trumpets. How many trumpets are there in Revelation? 7. We'll see it again here in a minute. And verse 10, and you shall hallow, there it is, because of what has happened on the 7 Sabbath years, 49 years, now you have the 50th year, and it's holy because of the previous 49 years. What day was Pentecost on? 50th day. Okay? 49 days after the Passover, where Christ shed his blood, sprinkled it on the mercy seat. Anyway, I love this. And proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man into his possession. You shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you, and you shall not sow neither reap that which groweth in and of itself, so on and so on. But anyway, the whole process was based upon 7 times 7 years, a total of 49 years, 7 times 7, that sanctified and cleansed to bring about the jubilee year where that was hallowed. It was made holy by that. Now let's go to the book of Joshua. How many times were they told to go around Jericho? In Joshua 6:4, the 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. What are they doing here? Jericho is a type of Mystery Babylon. Jericho is in the land of Canaan. And God told Israel in Deuteronomy 7, verse 1, that they were going to go, he was going to bring them into the land and possess it, and that you have to cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, 7 nations greater and mightier than thou. And God told them, he said, I've made you a holy people. When you go into that land with those 7 nations, think of the 7 heads of the beast, the 7 heads of the dragon. Those 2 have to be purged and got out of the way. That's the purpose of the vials of wrath. Because after the vials of wrath are poured out, the beast and false prophet are thrown right into the lake of fire, and Satan's put into the pit for 1,000 years, in the bottomless pit, in the prison. So anyway, God told Israel, when you go into that land, you see those 7 nations, you're going to clean the land. You're going to find all their altars, and all their images, and all their temples, and all their places of worship, and everything they've got, and you're going to burn it. You don't keep the silver, don't keep the gold, I'll give you plenty of it. Okay, I'm rich. You don't need their junk. Take it, burn it, and cleanse it. God's intention was that they would go in and cleanse that land. Did they do it? No. They left part of it unclean. They didn't run everybody out. So God made them thorns in their sides over it. He said, I'm going to use these nations now to test you, to prove you, see whether you really love me or not. And that's a proving ground. And I think you and I are in that same place right now. We don't have all the evil that is against us removed away from us. We don't have that. We still deal with the wickedness of this flesh. And the devils will be all over us on some days, just tearing us apart. And you have to decide, am I going to give in to that? Am I going to let them just have me for the rest of my life and then for the rest of eternity? Or am I going to trust in God? God, I cannot cleanse myself. You know why Joshua left them in that land? God had a reason for it. It wasn't that God was going, were you guys stupid? I wanted you to kill all those Canaanites and you didn't do what I said. Now I don't know what I'm going to do. God didn't do that. God said, I left them in there. Go read Judges chapters 1, 2, and 3. God said, I left them in there. Why? To prove you now herewith. And you know what God was showing? The Old Testament, the law, cannot drive out all the inhabitants. But Christ can. He can purge them all. How many devils did Mary Magdalene, I just thought of this, how many devils did Mary Magdalene have? 7. Who cast them out? Jesus. Where Joshua and his army failed, Jesus succeeded. Man, I love that. That's good. See, seven is the number for purification. So here are the Israelites marching around seven times. In verse 15 of Joshua 6, and it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. So they circle seven times on the seventh day and they blow seven trumpets. You figure it out. Okay? That's why there's seven trumpets. It's the announcement of the purification. Opening the book sealed with seven seals. We are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. All has to do with that number seven. And that the whole book of Revelation is, I think, God showing his process of sanctifying this earth so that Christ can reign for 1,000 years. All right? I like this one. Remember the Shunammite woman that Elisha prophesied she was going to have a baby? And she did. And she was holding it and went out in the field one day and he said, my head, and he died. I think they say he had a stroke or whatever. But here she is holding this dead baby in her arms. And she brought it to the man of God. She says, you promised it. Why didn't you just leave me alone? Now I've got a son and now he's dead. So in verse 35 of 2 Kings chapter 4, then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed seven times. The child opened his eyes. You say, okay, sneeze. What's that all about? When I got up this morning, certain times of the year are pretty rough on a lot of people because they have allergies. Little dust particles and pollen and dried mucus get shoved up in here in the nose. You have these real sensitive nerve endings in your sinuses that detect pollen or dust or whatever it is. And it sends a reaction to your brain. Your brain causes the lungs to inhale this huge amount of air. Simultaneously, it closes your eyes. I've heard that it's impossible to sneeze with your eyes open. Probably because the force of it might expel your eyeballs out of the sockets. I mean, sneezes can be hard. Your heart stops when you sneeze. So anyway, but what the body is doing then is purging the nasal cavity and the throat and the mouth. And you know this, because when you sneeze, they always say, cover that up. You ever seen like slow-mo video of someone sneezing? That is so disgusting. And people sneeze all over the place and don't cover it. Okay? Why? When a sneeze is purification. It's cleaning out the sinus cavity and the throat and the mouth. It's cleaning it out, getting all that crud out of there so you can breathe, so you can have the air, the pneuma, the spirit in you. He sneezed seven times. Then he started breathing again. Man, I love it. Naaman, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 10, he had leprosy. He went to Elisha. He said, I brought these gifts for thee, thou man of God. And he sent Gehazi, a servant, out and said, he don't want them. Go wash in the River Jordan seven times. Can you do it six? Can you do it five? Can you do it four? No, he has to go do it seven times exactly. And if you remember, Naaman, it made him mad. And he drove off in a huff. Here I am, got all this stuff for the man of God. I've got the present. And wants me to go dip in that nasty, dirty water, River Jordan. And his servant said, boss, if he'd asked you to do some great big feat, would you have done it? Well, yeah. Well, what's it going to hurt if you go get wet in the River Jordan seven times? So he went and did it. And you know what happened? Verse 14, he went down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. See it? See it? Seven times, and he's clean. Daniel chapter 3, verse 19. Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. It's a furnace. The words of the Lord are pure words. A silver tried in a furnace, purified seven times. And here they take this furnace, seven times hotter than, number one, it had ever been heated. Number two, probably seven times more than it could handle. But they had that thing hot, so hot that the men throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that furnace were killed by the heat. Dropped dead. Probably caught on fire. That's how hot it was. And they were in the seven times hot fiery furnace, and they had the fourth, the Son of God, in there with them, and nothing happened. Purified seven times. I love it. Daniel 4:16, Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar goes out and looks over his kingdom and says, look what I did. Yeah, that's a redneck for you. Rednecks can do it. Make it shiny. Make it look nice. And God said, send an angel down there and let him know who he really is. So you remember what happened? In verse 16 of Daniel 4, let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. What did that do for Nebuchadnezzar? It purified him. It cleansed his mind. He had hardening of the attitude, and it cleansed his mind and his character and his nature and his thought processes and his philosophy. And now he comes out of that in his right mind, and he says, there is no other God but the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he's the only one I'm going to serve. It worked, didn't it? Think of Matthew 18:21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That's 490. The 490th chapter is the word of the Lord, are pure words, purified in of earth, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. 490th chapter, 70 times 7, 490. That's how I'm going to purify my people. When they ask forgiveness, I'm going to forgive of all of their sins, and I will make them perfectly clean. Cleaner than anything. Now, keep that in mind. And by the way, think of it like this. In the genealogy given in Matthew chapter 1 and in Luke chapter 3, in Matthew 1 it starts from Abraham, and there's 42 in the lineage. That's a multiple of 7. In Luke chapter 3, there's 77 starting from Adam, or starting from Jesus going backward to Adam, to who was the Son of God. God is the 77th name mentioned. And so here is Jesus, who is the one who is going to cleanse, and his lineage is based upon that number 7. Okay? I think it's a sign. I think it means that. I think it's related to that. The name Jesus, if you type it in the Pure Bible Search software, you'll get a return of 983 times. Three of those times refer to Joshua in the Old Testament, or another man named Jesus something. I can't remember what his name was. So that leaves you with 980 occurrences of the name Jesus. That's 490 times 2. That's 70 times 7 times 2. Why? 70 times 7, he's forgiving his brethren. Now, he came the first time to forgive them, and they wouldn't have anything to do with it. So he says, well, I'll just forgive the Gentiles then. How's that? And they don't have to do the law. They don't keep the law. I'll forgive them for nothing. How's that? But he's coming again to restore Israel and forgive their sins. And that's prophesied in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Right now, Jerusalem is anything but holy. But he's 70 weeks. How many is that? That's 7 days in a week times 70. That would be 490. Just like Psalm 12, just like Luke 17, 4, he says, if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Seven times being the number for cleansing and purification. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to, number one, finish the transgression, number two, to make an end of sins, number three, to make reconciliation for iniquity, number four, to bring in everlasting righteousness, number five, to seal up the vision, number six, and prophecy, and number seven, to anoint the most holy. Look at there, the most holy. The most holy is the seventh thing that's going to be done during the 70 weeks. Isn't that cool? Isn't that awesome? So the number seven, what does it mean? Completion? God finished the work? Sure. Perfection? Yes. By way of purification. By way of a process whereby you and I cannot purge ourselves. We cannot go into the promised land. So we have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. We can't get rid of the seven nations stronger and mightier than us. The seven heads of the beast. The seven heads of the dragon. We cannot prevail even against our own flesh. We're not purified and sanctified by what we think or what we perform. We are only purified and sanctified by the blood of Jesus sprinkled seven times on the mercy seat of Almighty God in heaven. That's how you and I are purged of our iniquities and our transgressions. We can't do it ourselves, people. Don't let these people put you into the bondage, because they're making you think that they don't do anything wrong and that they are the holy people because they keep the Sabbath or because they had feast days or because they got a longer dress than you wear or their hair is shorter on the guys than yours is and they don't have a mustache or they don't have any tattoos or they don't have this and they don't have that. Don't let these people put you into bondage by what they think and do for themselves, thinking that they are purifying themselves and making themselves the holy people of God. Don't buy it. Because while they nail you for what you do, they're very suspiciously silent on what they do wrong. You'll never hear them say it. Makes you think, doesn't it? Okay? I'm always on the side of ratbag, scumhead sinners. I'm always on the side of the sinner. Why? The sinner will be honest that he can't do it himself, and even after he's saved, he's not doing it of himself. God is doing it through him and for him and to him. He'll be honest about that, and he won't use that to brag against anybody else and how they live. I love it. The Holy Spirit, seven spirits of God, this Word of God purified seven times, washing with the water of the Word. Christ is sanctifying His bride right now, getting us ready. Okay? Are you ready? Now, you may not agree with this. I believe what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, that we will be changed at the last trump. What I think. I can't get around that. That's what I think. Maybe you disagree, maybe you agree. I don't know. We'll let God sort it out. All right? God bless you. I love you. The record light's still on. I think we made it. All right? We're going to study the word, study things that are cleansed. Study the word clean, cleanse, purified, sanctified, hallowed, washed. Study those in your Bible. And I've got 7 pages of notes just on things that are poured. But I may throw in here another lesson about being cleansed and being washed. All right? It'd be a good lesson for us. Anyway, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.